Chapter 12.
My, that certainly is an interesting cake,
Ruth said as she eyed the triple-layer dark chocolate confection Lexi balanced on the palm of her right hand, while she walked it to the glass table where Ruth, Nance, Helen, and Cassie were seated in the front room of her bakery. It's a trial run for Cassie's wedding cake. Lexi put the cake on the table and stood back, admiring it. It was a triple-tier cake, in miniature. The icing was almost black and as smooth as silk. Embedded around the edges of the cake were edible silver-colored studs and spikes. Cassie sat next to Nance, grinning ear to ear.
I love it.
Now let's see if it tastes as good as it looks. Lexi slid a knife into the bottom layer and sliced off 5 pieces. She put them on plates and handed them around the table. Hey, where's Ida? Lexi said, her eyebrows wrinkling together. The ladies always went everywhere together, and it was strange to see Nance, Ruth, and Helen without her. Nance paused, her cake-laden fork halfway to her mouth. Her boyfriend has a bad case of gout. She's back at the center watching over him. He's in terrible pain.
Ida has a boyfriend?
Cassie's eyebrows raised up to her hairline. Helen nodded.
Us older people have urges too, you know.
Too much information, Helen, Lexi said, screwing up her face and pushing her cake plate away, amidst laughter from Nance, Ruth, and Helen.
The cake is delicious,
Nance said, licking frosting from the tines of her fork. Lexi beamed with pride as the others murmured their agreement.
And the design? She asked.
Fits Cassie perfectly,
Nance answered.
It's exactly what I wanted.
Cassie scraped the frosting from her plate with the side of her fork.
When is the wedding, dear?
Ruth asked. Lexi felt a pinch of envy in her gut when she saw Cassie's eyes get all dreamy at the mention of her wedding. Then she immediately felt bad because she was truly happy for her friend. Maybe the pinch was hunger pangs. She hadn't eaten much lately.
2 weeks,
Cassie answered, then turned to Lexi.
Don't forget the rehearsal is on Thursday.
Lexi nodded, then turned her attention to Nance.
Did you and Jack finish talking about your case yesterday?
Yep, Nance said.
A sparkle twinkled in her eye as she pursed her lips together. Lexi stared out the front window of the bakery, watching the water rush over the falls. She was dying to know what they were up to, and had tried to get the information out of Jack the night before, but he'd been extremely tight-lipped.
Can I take a piece back for Ida?
Helen asked.
Of course. Why don't I box the whole cake up for you guys? I certainly don't need the extra calories here.
Lexi jumped up to grab a bakery box from behind the counter.
It's too bad Ida had to miss seeing it whole, Nance said. But Norman is in terrible pain. They were talking about giving him OxyContin or morphine to make it more bearable.
That's pretty strong stuff, Cassie said.
Jack said something about OxyContin last night in relation to the case he is working. I guess it's one of the prescription drugs that this drug ring specializes in. He's not sure where they get it from. Lexi turned to Nance.
Is that the case you two were working on?
No.
Nance shook her head. Lexi rolled her eyes and sighed.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
You'll find out in good time, dear.
Nance reached over and patted her hand. Before Lexi could press the issue further, Nance's cell phone blared from her purse.
Hello?
She yelled into the phone, causing Lexi and Cassie to jump. The phone was turned up loud, and they could all hear Ida on the other end.
Mona,
Ida gasped, calling Nance by her given name.
Norman's gout is getting worse. His knees have swollen up like soccer balls. They're going to move him to the nursing care section. He can't walk or even move out of bed, not even to go to the bathroom.
Oh, dear, that sounds awful.
I need you guys to come back right away. When they move him over, we're going to have to stand guard 24/7 so that he doesn't become the next victim.
Don't you worry. We're on it. Nan snapped the phone shut, then looked at the other women around the table. Well, you heard her. Let's get a move on.
Lexi eyed the remains of Cassie's practice wedding cake sitting in the middle of Nan's dining room table.
Help yourself, dear.
Lexi looked down at her stomach. Her pants were just starting to fit normally, and she didn't want to risk gaining weight back. Even though she was so hungry, she felt like passing out.
Thanks, but I'm all set.
Lexi took a seat furthest from the cake and watched Nan's pace the room. According to Nan's early morning phone call, she had some big news, but she wouldn't spill the beans until Ruth and Helen were there. Finally, a knock sounded at the door, and Nan's rushed over to let the two women in.
So what's so important that you have to call us all here at this hour of the morning?
Ruth hustled into the apartment, a steaming coffee mug already in her hand.
You won't believe what happened last night.
Nan's face was flushed with excitement. Her sharp green eyes twinkled. Lexi, Ruth, and Helen raised their eyebrows.
What?
I was taking my shift, watching Norman last night, and at approximately 3:12 a.m., I heard some moaning and what sounded like a struggle from the room next door. I turned my hearing aid way up so I could hear better, and I thought I heard someone say no. Then I heard a crash.
She paused, and Ruth gasped. Lexi leaned forward on the edge of her chair.
Go on, Helen said, motioning with her hands. I ran out into the hallway, and just as I reached the door, who do you think was coming out of that room?
Nurse Rothschild.
No, the janitor,
Nan said.
And he was acting sneaky, too. When he saw me, he got all nervous and practically ran down the hall.
Lexi sucked in a breath.
Do you think he tried to kill the person?
I don't know. Maybe, Nan said. I went into the room to make sure the patient was okay. He was, but he looked like he was in pain, thrashing around and stuff. The sliding tray had crashed down onto the floor.
What did you do?
Thankfully, a nurse came in and gave him some morphine and picked up the mess.
Nurse Rothschild?
No, I don't think she was on duty last night. At least I didn't see her.
Ruth tapped her finger on her top lip.
So, maybe we've been wasting our time with the investigation of Rothschild.
Nan's nodded.
We'd better start looking into that janitor.
I still wish we could get a handle on the motive,
Helen said.
And what about the earring I found?
Lexi asked. Nan's walked over to her computer table, pulled the earring out of a drawer, and held it up. The gold setting glimmered in the light, a perfect contrast to the black pearl.
It's a very distinctive setting, and very feminine. I doubt the janitor would have been wearing it.
Maybe it fell off earlier and has nothing to do with the murder,
Helen said.
Or maybe the janitor has an accomplice who wears earrings,
Ruth added. Nan's pursed her lips.
We'll have to keep all avenues open. What I heard last night doesn't necessarily mean the janitor is the killer, but it does mean we need to look at him a little closer. I'm not ruling Rothschild out just yet either, and if we can tie the earring to her, all the better.
Nan's iPad started ringing on the table in front of her, and she tilted her head to look at the display.
It's Ida calling on FaceTime. She's down with Norman, she said, sliding the bar to answer.
Ida's face filled the screen, and Lexi felt an icy chill race up her spine at her words.
Mona, get down here right away. There's been another murder. And this one doesn't look so natural.